God's holy name, hallelujah. Praise God's holy name, hallelujah. Praise God's holy name, hallelujah.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Este es el día en que el Señor actuó. Regocijémonos y alegrémonos en él.
Dies ist der Tag, den der Herr macht. Lasset uns freuen und fröhlich darin sein.
これは主が設けられた日であって、我ら箱の日に喜び楽しむらる。
这是耶和华所定的日子，我们在其中要高兴欢喜。
Haute he hemera hene poison ho curios, agalia sometha kai euphanthomen en aute.
Seophane an la adiorchdia.Sambesin Sulivar A.
Es Azanab Az Urtet, Hod Oriatek Ish Oriatek Bene.
Ze Hayom Asa Adonai Nagila Vunishmahacho Bo.
This is the day.That the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
As we have joined together in tongues and singing and praise, let us join together with tongues of prayer. Join me in the litany of confession found printed in our worship guide for the morning. To God be the glory, great things God has done. To prepare ourselves to partake at this table on World Communion Sunday, let us pray. Healing God, we come before you broken, yet seeking wholeness, isolated, yet seeking community, overwhelmed, yet seeking simplicity, shamed, yet seeking grace. God, we yearn for the healing you promise. God of justice, we come before you selfish, yet seeking a generous heart. Arrogant, yet seeking humility. Responsible for injustices, yet seeking forgiveness. God, we yearn for the justice you promise. God of peace, we come before you afraid, yet seeking assurance. Agitated, yet seeking serenity. Angry, yet seeking a forgiving heart. God, we yearn for the peace you promise. Knowing that through Christ all things are made new, we come to the communion table today to be recreated through the bread and cup, and to be renewed in our faith and commitment. God, we submit ourselves to renewal through you. This we pray through Jesus Christ the Lord, Savior. Amen. Amen. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. Since God has forgiven us in Christ, we are free to forgive one another, indeed to share the peace that we receive in that forgiveness. So the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us share expressions of peace one with another. I invite the children forward now for our time with the children with Brianna Cook. Children, please come forward now.
Good morning, everybody. How are you guys? Did you guys hear what Dr. Pender said today was? Did anybody hear? Anybody remember? What, Rylan? World Communion Sunday. Exactly. First, we're going to talk about communion and then what World Communion Sunday is. So communion is a symbol of Jesus' sacrifice for us. It kind of represents it. I have some other symbols just to remind us what symbols are. Those of you who have ever texted or typed on a computer, what does this stand for? Or this way, a smiley face. And what does that mean? That somebody feels happy. Happy. What's this a symbol for?
A flag.
A flag. Whose flag?
America's
flag. Close. So, and this day, is this really America, though, that this one little flag?
No, it's a picture.
It's a picture, that's right. It represents America. What about this? The Bible. What does all that represent? God or church, right? It's kind of the same thing with communion. We have bread and wine, or sometimes grape juice. It represents how Jesus, the bread, how his body broke for us when he died. And with the juice or the wine, it's his blood that was spilled. Are we really eating his body and drinking his blood?
No.
It just represents it, right? That's why we do as communion. And Christians do communion. And here's the cool thing. Christians all over the world do communion. Do you guys see all these different types of bread behind you? It's not just the one loaf of bread we usually have for communion, is it? It's bread from all over the world. Because today, we hope that Christians here in America, over in Europe, down in Australia, over in Asia or Africa or South America, we hope that they all do communion today. Tell me something in a second, okay? Hold one second. And so everybody today celebrates the fact that we're Christian, and we want to remember that, and that we have all these worldwide brothers and sisters. That's what today is really about. It's a big celebration. Does that make sense? At least a little bit? Okay. You guys ready to pray with me? Can you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for communion. And thank you for Christians all over the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. If you're going to children's church, you can line up. I know. Come on, Kelly. If you're going back to your seat, go ahead and go back.
Hear now the scripture for the morning from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. This is part of a series of seven messages to seven different congregations in seven different cities. This is the message to the church in Laodicea. Hear now what the risen Christ says to the church of Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white clothes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen. I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you, and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our text today is a message of Jesus, the risen Christ, to a congregation in a city called Laodicea. It is not a particularly familiar name to us, most likely because, as far as I can figure out, there has never been a Presbyterian church called the Laodicea Presbyterian Church. Now, the other churches of the book of Revelation, Ephesus Presbyterian Church, yes. Sardis Presbyterian Church, yes. Thyatira Presbyterian Church, yes. Philadelphia Presbyterian Church, yes. But nobody has ever chosen Laodicea. For if you listen carefully, you heard that they got an F on their report card. Each of the letters in the book of Revelation are a report card about how the church is doing. And in every other letter, there is some sort of pat on the back, some sort of encouragement, some sort of, well, you're not complete, but you're getting some things right. But not Laodicea. Incidentally, although I couldn't find a Presbyterian church called Laodicea, I did find a couple of off-brand churches called the Laodicean Church. Go figure. Now, what's happening in this congregation is they are self-sufficient. They have no need for the presence of God. Having a little bit of Jesus is okay, but they're okay. They're self-sufficient. A few years back, a Baptist minister named Tony Campolo invented a word. He called it affluenza. Affluence and influenza. What happens when we have too much affluence? There's no flu shot available for affluenza. One clear symptom is this, that if we have enough money, we can make it. If we get enough education, we can figure it out. And if we're smart enough, we'll know what to do. self-sufficiency? Or is there a sense for the need for God? About 20 years ago, I learned that an inactive member of my congregation was going to be on worship on Sunday. I knew this because it was in the paper on Saturday. He said, "I'm going to be in church tomorrow." He had been fishing 50 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean with a friend before GPSs, before any kind of that kind of emergency kind of thing. The boat had an immediate catastrophe. It went down without a mayday. His friend got a life jacket. He got the ice cooler. No one knew where they were. 50 miles. You could go a quarter mile one way or the other and wouldn't even see them in the water. And a Portuguese fishing boat off course came right across where they were and picked them up. And he said, "You know, I'm going to be in church on Sunday." That was the only time I ever saw him in worship. It was enough. Self-sufficiency. We are people who gather around that beatitude of Jesus that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. A need for God. And I know something what that might look like as well, what the need for God would look like. A few years ago, I did a sabbatical, and one of the opportunities on the sabbatical was to go to non-Presbyterian congregations to see how other folks did worship. And what I found repeatedly were a number of congregations that had a service for those in recovery. Recovery. And it was the usual candidates, the addictions to alcohol, to drugs, to sex. But one of the most unusual ones was a recovery service, a 12-step program for those who needed to recover from money, from finances. And it was a 12-step service, beginning with, "I am out of control, I am powerless over money." And number two, it is only when I daily, not weekly, when I daily have connection with my higher power, am I in recovery. I tell you, the service was full of this need for God. Everyone was there because they were in recovery. The need for God. Coming back to this church in Laodicea, we have a church that's not divided over doctrinal conflicts. There are no divisions about what the church should do on this particular item. They just don't have a sense for God. And so Jesus says, "You are neither hot nor cold." And this is one of the most graphic symbols or graphic images of judgment in the New Testament. He says, "I am going to spit you out. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm." Now, the people in Laodicea would have immediately connected with this image. You see, about 7 or 8 miles down the road, there is the Greek city of Colossae. Paul's letter to the Colossians is written to the church in Colossae. It is known for its cold springs, the fresh water, but that's 8 or 9 miles down the road.
And it's downhill. You got to go downhill to come back. Got to come uphill to come back. But upstream from Laodicea is Hierapolis, and it's known for its hot sulfur springs. People went to Hierapolis for the hot water, for the sulfur, for the healing. But the water flowed down from Hierapolis to Laodicea, and by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm sulfur water. No good for anything except spitting out. The Laodiceans would have known what it means to be neither hot nor cold. But here's the oddest twist of all. To this congregation that gets an F, nothing good can be said about them. And they get this most graphic image of judgment, I'm going to spit you out. Of all the seven letters, they have the kindest and gentlest and most promising grace offered to them. Each of the seven congregations are offered something of grace, a promise of what God can do through Jesus Christ. But it's Laodicea that gets the sweetest and the dearest and the most intimate. The promise to the Laodiceans is, listen, I stand at the door and knock. I'm that close to you. I'm standing at the door knocking. I'm ready to come in to eat with you and you with me. There's a famous painting of this text by William Holman Hunt. You've probably seen it and didn't realize you were seeing it. It is a picture of Jesus standing at a door, appropriate enough, knocking. But if you look closely at the picture, you'll notice some details that the artist puts with it. There are vines growing up over the hinges. It hadn't been open for a while. And if you look even closer, there's no doorknob. There's not even a keyhole. It is a door that can only be opened from the other side. So what we need this morning is a door. This is Jesus' table. And he's saying, come and eat with me. But there's no doorknob on this side. There is no keyhole on this side. The door can only be opened by those who reach out and open the door. Who don't depend on their own self-sufficiency, that they've got it all figured out. On this World Communion Sunday, when we celebrate a table that stretches around the world, there's also a door opened around the world for those who do not have it all together. But they come to the God in Christ who fills us with all that we need. God is enough for all of us. As the seer ended his passage, if anyone has ears to hear, let him listen to the message to the churches. Let us pray. All gracious God, once again we come to your table. Indeed, we come to you who are always ready and willing to meet us. Once again, O God, may we open our lives up to you and serve you in the ways and the means and the opportunities that are before us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I invite you to find in your worship guide the Declaration of Faith, the Affirmation of Faith for the morning. It is a question and answer from the Belgique Confession. Let us stand and affirm our faith. As you stand, the choir, the bell ringers will be getting into their place, and they will lead us following our concerns of church family. Let us join together in our affirmation of faith. What do you believe about the Church of Christ? We believe and confess one single Catholic or universal church, a holy congregation, and a gathering of true Christian believers. What binds them all together? They await their entire salvation in Jesus Christ, are washed in his blood, and sanctified and sealed by the Holy Spirit. How big is this church? This holy church is not confined, bound, or limited to a certain place or certain persons, but it is spread and dispersed throughout the entire world, though still joined and united in heart and will, in the one and the same Spirit by the power of faith. Amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, I also invite you to find the friendship register in the pews. Our members take the lead in signing that. We say to guests and visitors among you, we hope that you will sign that register as well. And we are delighted that you can be part of this World Communion Sunday service with us this morning. I also invite you to take note of the life of the church as you find in our Turnip Patch Times. It is the weekly newsletter found inside the bulletin. If you came through the fellowship hall coming into worship, you will have already seen that the tables are set for a wonderful lunch. And I invite you to stay for lunch in the fellowship hall, a meal by the caterer, the entertainer. And it is always an excellent meal. So I invite you to be a part of that. Please note that we have begun our stewardship theme. It is a book called, oddly enough, Enough. That God is enough. And a number of the Sunday school classes began studying that this morning. It is also available in the fellowship hall for you to purchase, and it is a wonderful study for the month of October. You'll also see that we'll be offering a study of it on Wednesday nights as well. And so one of the Wednesday night options for the month of October will be the study of this book, Enough. And again, it is a reflection upon our financial practices, how we live our life totally, and so that we can depend that God is enough. I invite you to take note of the other opportunities, such as we are in the midst of a habitat build. We've got an Oktoberfest coming up with our Friendship First Fellowship and Fish Pantry on Tuesday. Finally, I would just simply highlight for you the two notices of congregational sympathy. First, to Paul Rader. His father died earlier this week, and that is where Paul is. He is still in Ironton, Ohio, and will be returning tomorrow. There were almost 20 of us at his father's funeral this past Thursday, and Paul and Linda and the rest of the family have been appreciative of the phone calls and notes and letters that you have written or will write, and just very humbled by the extension of care from this congregation.
And likewise, note that Becky Candino went through a very similar experience with the death of her father this past week. Let us now continue in worship with our morning offering, our tithes and offerings for the day. Let us worship God with these gifts. This is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who call upon Him as Lord and Savior are invited to come and partake. Jesus said, "People shall come from east and west, north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God." On this World Communion Sunday, once again, we claim that vision of God's kingdom and God's church. Let us join together in our song of preparation. On the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of this cup, do this remembering me."
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us partake.
Will you pray with me the unison prayer of thanksgiving? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we evermore give praise and thanks that you have been so gracious to us poor sinners and have delivered up to death your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and have given him also for our nourishment to everlasting life. We ask you that we may not forget these things, but that we may grow in faith in you, who through love is active in all good works, and so may our whole life be devoted to your praise and to the betterment of our neighbors, through your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now go forth into the world in peace to render to no one evil for evil, to support the weak, to stand by the faint-hearted, indeed, to treat no one except as a brother and sister in Christ. For the table we have gathered around is the table of the Lord, and all God's children have been invited to it. Go now with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And let God's people say together, Amen.